gonna be all right.
Yeah, then we won't trip and fall.
Fall into the queue.
Right. Break your hip.
That is a good idea.
Still in there. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Harbor of Joy. Let's stand up and worship together this morning.
Everybody here this morning, how many of you had thoughts of not coming? See? Thanks for your honesty. Because, you know, sometimes you open one eye and you go like, what day is it? And you go, Sunday? Oh, I'd like to sleep in. Or I just don't want to go. That's just being human. Thanks for being honest. Because, you know, there's a story of a guy that hid under his bed on a Sunday morning, and his wife said, get up, get out of there, get out from underneath that bed. And he says, I don't want to go to church today. She said, but you're the pastor. Sometimes it's like that. Good to have everybody here. I do want to remind you that the baby bottles are back, and we're going to see a video of a gal who is from around here. She is going to be in the video, and the video was taken by someone in Spencer, and so you need to look back at the monitor. Oh, you can look at the monitors up front there to see what it is. So I don't know who she is. Some of you might know who she is, but don't tell us who she is if you do know her. But this will tell us more about why we do this.
Things I had never done before. It was really preparing me for the mental aspect of that and the physical aspect. aspect and just also getting me ready to help decide how I was going to handle my life after the baby. Going into Cherish House, it felt like my life was over. You know, I was this 19-year-old who was pregnant, didn't know what to do with this baby, and it just felt like survival mode. I ended up going to the house, meeting with Amy, and pretty much instantly my thought process about it didn't want to be. I was like, I think this is exactly what I need. I felt very led there. I have relationships that I will still reach out to them to this day, over call or text or meet up with them, and genuine friendships that were formed there, and just people that I know I have in my corner and are helping support me throughout my life. They also just meet you where you're at. So for me, getting my physical exercise was something important to me while I was there, and these people went on walks with me, they went on bike rides with me, whatever I felt like I needed, they were there for that. Their efforts show in the work. It shows in the results of the people that are leaving the house, the impacts they're having on the people around them, and they're just very centered on the good. They're just going to do whatever they We had such a close bond that we were doing everything together. You know, we were naming the baby together, we were deciding how we were going to leave the hospital together, and I went through with the adoption. He is currently with the family, and they live about an hour from where I grew up. So now I'm seeing him basically weekly, depending on if I'm in college or not, but we do holidays together. His siblings also call my mom grandma. They just are a new family to us. It's not a forced relationship at all, regardless of my son. Somehow during my time there, things completely shifted, and I left Cherish House in a much better state than even before I was pregnant. It completely changed how I look at life, the things I want to do with my life. Because of the experience I had there, it was so touching that I really want to get into nonprofit work myself as I grow up. I changed my college path a little bit, and I think it also helped bring me closer with God. They are a Christian-centered organization. They don't necessarily push it on you, but they just kind of guide you if spirituality is something important to you, and for me it was, and they really, really helped with my spiritual relationship, with my relationships with family, with how I perceive the people and the things happening around me. It just completely changed my life.
There. So now you know what Cherish House is all about. We have baby bottles that are by the big window by the church secretary. If you want to pick up a bottle, you can. There's more that is said in the flyer, in the bulletin here today. And I just thought of this here this morning. If we're going to do this through Easter, if you want to bring your bottle whenever that is, just put it at the foot of the cross over here whenever you want to. You know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to wait till Easter to do it, but that's where we can just set the bottles. If not there, it can be at the big window where you pick up the bottles at the secretary's office too. But that's just something that they're in need of. It's their annual fundraiser type of a thing to help with a gal that you just seen on the video here. And there's probably been many, many others over the years. So just keep that in mind. There is also, I just want to have you read what's in the bulletin here today just for the sake of time, because we have the other pastor that's here today that we didn't know was going to show up, but he's here. Dean Ramsey. Where are you, Dean? Come on up here.
Oh, I can never hear me from here.
Okay, yeah, we don't care about people on Zoom, do we? But that's why you got to be listening here. Come on up here.
Now my wife will see me and she'll wonder what I'm talking about today.
I'll just stand close to you because I got the mic here.
Yeah, do that. Wednesday night fellowship, we're going to try to hold it this week, but we're going to have our supper at 4:15 because that's been the typical time. We're going to do something different this time. Don's taking the night off from barbecuing because of the chance of snow. So Lynn Creswell and Bobby Berry donated a couple pork roasts here a while ago, so I'm going to attempt to roast the pork and we'll have mashed potatoes or something to go with it. So if anybody wants to bring something else, dessert or salad, come join us and we'll have the supper, and then after the service, maybe we can get together for coffee and fellowship for a few minutes.
No, I have a service at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, you interfere with our Wednesday night fellowship.
It's Lent. What do you do? That's kind of what happens. So, yeah, at 6 o'clock, we do have a Lenten service right here in the sanctuary, and this will be our second Lent, and we're going to be taking a look at what happened at the temple. Jesus come riding in on a donkey. We did that last Wednesday night. So then from the gate of coming into Jerusalem, he then goes over to the temple, and we're going to find out a little bit more about that and the reasoning for that as well on this Wednesday night. The second year confirmation class will be here. I hope they're going to be here. They're on spring break. I've never heard of spring break in a school before. It goes to show how old school I am. We never had that growing up, but they've got it. So, they might not be here, but typically I've just told them that I want you to be here for Lenten service. That's part of your confirmation. If you come on Wednesday night, I give them some questions and a little half sheet of paper to follow along, as well as to fill in the answers to the questions or the blanks as well. So that's this Wednesday night, and then, of course, Thursday night at 6 o'clock. You can see there that at 6:30, it's read through the Bible. Those of you that are reading through the Bible are going through that. Patty Griffiths is having a time here at the church in a fireside room to just talk about what you've been reading or what you've been thinking over going through the Bible this past week. Do also want to let you know that here's just a thank you from the Hispy, from Doug Hispy and his family. It says, thank you. Our family would like to thank you for your love and support during this difficult time. And probably add in there also the Bergs as well, the Berg family here too. Doug goes on, he says, your kindness, prayers, and comforting words mean so much to us as we honored Idella yesterday. We are grateful to have you by our side. That's the family of Idella Hispy. And they met here yesterday from noon to 3 o'clock. Lots of people were here for that. And they met in the fellowship room through this whole thing. So just a thank you from them. And our prayers continue to go with the Berg family as well as with the Hispy family in what they are going through with the loss of their mom and also their wife as well. Think of Larry. Do want to remind just one last thing here is Trevor Rubenstein or Rubenstein. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. He is from, where's he from? Chosen People Ministries. He's going to be here doing a Passover meal. He is a Messianic Jew, which means he is a person who hasn't always believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But he's come to believe in Christ, that he is, Christ means Messiah. Christ means the anointed one from the Old Testament to the New. And he is a Jewish person, and there's a lot of Jews today who do not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They believe he was just a good man, a good prophet, he did a lot of good things, but he was not the Messiah. They're still looking for the Messiah. But Trevor believes that Jesus is the Messiah. He's going to come and take us through the Seder meal, and the also known as the Passover meal for us Americans. But you need to sign up by the last Sunday. 2 weeks from today will be the last time that you can sign up to be a part of this meal. And it's from 5:30 to 7:30 on the 3rd of April is when we get together. It's a Thursday night. We will not meet Wednesday before for Lent service. We're going to just have everything on Thursday night. And Trevor will be here and help us to see what the Jews today continue to celebrate as a family in their homes. But a lot of Jews today do not believe in the New Testament either. So they get rid of the New Testament. They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah, but Trevor does. So I just want you to know that, as he is a part of the ministry of Chosen People Ministries, and he does this If you want to know more about his background and what his little bit of his testimony, I think Maria Watke's got that with her today, and you can talk to Maria. Maria, you're sitting way back there. Just raise your hand so we know who you are. Hold it up there. Okay, there she is. If you don't know who Maria is, there she is. Thank you so much for that. And that is all I'm going to say because it's a lot for you to stand and do nothing. So take.
We could stay here all day, Tim, listening to you.
Can you? Oh, wow. Well, okay. Well, then I'll do the call to worship. Thank you, Lisa. The call to worship comes from Psalm 16. It says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So reading this morning says this: open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him.
Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
More love to you, Jesus. More love to you. Please hear my prayer that I need more love of you.
Once earthly joy I craved, I was looking for peace and rest. Now I seek you because you give what is best. Come, Lord, and give me more of your love.
For a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials.
These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold may be proved genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor.
Though you have not seen Jesus Christ, you love him.
And even though you do not see Jesus now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus by faith today.
Open the eyes.
Praise band can be seated. Well, you can probably stand. So I'm going to invite the rest of the congregation to stand as we hear God's word today. It comes from the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament. I love to tell the story. How about you? You love telling the story? It's interesting that in that song it says, there are some who've never heard. You might be one of those here today. You go like, I've heard a lot of things, but I've never heard the story about Jesus Christ like I've heard or will hear here today. I want to read from Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah does come after Isaiah, in case you're wondering, where is it? It's right before, it's after, right after Isaiah. So if you hit Isaiah, just keep going to paging and you'll hit Jeremiah. Chapter 26, verses 8 through 15. And it says this, but as soon as Jeremiah finished telling all the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and said, you must die. What in the world could he have said to get that kind of response? And they said, why do you prophesy in the Lord's name that this house will be like Shiloh and this city will be desolate and deserted? And all the people crowded around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard about these things, they went up from the royal palace to the house of the Lord and took their places at the entrance of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people, this man should be sentenced to death because he has prophesied against this city. You have heard it with your own ears. Then Jeremiah said to all the officials and all the people, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the things you have heard. Now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. Be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on the city and on those who live in it. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these things in your hearing. Heavenly Father, we thank you that these words are very important for us even today, even though these were spoken, man, a couple of thousand years ago, probably a couple thousand and 500 or better. But yet they are for us even today in 2025, that these are words that still live and come into our hearing today. Help me to preach your word this morning. Make it understandable and clear, and as many people are saying, and make it short. I don't know about that one, though. But we just thank you that we can be here today to hear your truth. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to tell you just a little bit about Jeremiah. He was told that he was going to be a prophet as a young whippersnapper. He was probably only a teenager. His dad was a prophet. He was to follow his dad. And he's just a young guy. He never married because, you'll find out why he didn't marry, because what wife could put up with a guy like this? Some of you say, Sharon, how can she put up with me? You know, it goes hand in hand. But Jeremiah started his ministry under the reign of King Josiah. Josiah was a good king. There was not that many good kings of all the kings of Israel, but Josiah was a good one. He had a son whose name was Jehoiakim. What we'll find out about him today, but Jehoiakim was not at all like his dad. And Zedekiah was also a son of Josiah. And Zedekiah was not a good king either. But they're the boys of a good king. It happens that way. Sometimes you have family members that go a different direction than what you would like. Jeremiah never had a convert in his whole ministry to the Jews during his lifetime. He was also told by God that no one was ever going to listen to him. How would you like that? So that's how I feel sometimes. Don't want to listen to me. Jeremiah just spoke what God told him to speak. He was the messenger. And the people did not like what he had to say. So it's like, don't shoot the messenger. What you hear is what God says. We sometimes lose sight of that. But Jeremiah was also one of those kinds of guys that's, one of the theologians called him, he was the crybaby of God. He had a tender heart. He didn't like to say the things that he was told to say by God to the people. He was a compassionate man. He oftentimes, when he would speak on God's behalf to say a message he did not want to talk about, he would have tears in his eyes, because he didn't want to really say these things because he knew that the people wouldn't like it. But he would deliver, oftentimes, a harsh message to the Jews of his day. Because he'd always be talking about God's coming judgment. And of course, you know, that's kind of a bummer. Right, Norma? Remember we studied Revelation? And some of you are even doing that now. You go like, oh man, can't we get on to something more positive? Something a little bit better than where we're at, than the judgments of God before, you know, during the tribulation, all those things that you find in the book of Revelation. So his message that he spoke from God oftentimes broke his own heart when he would share it with the people. He was hated by the people. He was beaten oftentimes. He was put in stocks. You know, your head's in there and your hands are out here and it's locked. You can't do anything. That's stocks. He was imprisoned. He was lowered down into a dry cistern that was still mud on the bottom. So he kind of sank in some mud as he's in the cistern. A little while later, I mean, they actually did pull him out, but they threw down their kind of old rags and old clothes as they put the rope down there to put around his armpits so they could hoist him up and out of it. So it was a very deep cistern where he was at. And they would throw bread down to him. And you can about imagine that the bread, where would the bread hit? In the mud. And that's all he had to eat, is whatever they would throw down from up above into the mud. Don't know how long he was in that cistern. He was also being charged with being a traitor by his own people. That's kind of the life. Gives you a little bit more of an idea who this man that we're going to hear about here today, Jeremiah, from the book of Jeremiah, as far as kind of get to know them a little bit better than maybe what you have as well. Somebody might say, all I know about him is he was called a weeping prophet. You can see why. And now you can understand, too, why he never married. Because what wife would ever put up with someone doing that to her husband? Or to try to help him when she probably couldn't help him at all, because women were not even looked upon as being important during that time in history. I'm glad that that has changed. So if there ever was a man or a person like Jeremiah who felt like an outsider or didn't fit into his society, it would have been him, Jeremiah. When people would see him coming, do you think they would go down the other street or the other side of the street? They just saw him as a guy that could never say anything positive. And yet, his message was always positive. It's just that people didn't want to hear it, what he said. So no one ever listened to him. And the people in the high places around the king, this is King Jehoiakim that we have here, they looked at Jeremiah as one who was always giving negative advice. The people that were around the king, the prophets, the high priests that were around him, they always told King Jehoiakim, everything's going to be great. It was all positive kind of a thing. And then see Jeremiah, they go like, uh-oh, here he comes. But the king only wanted to hear, and these other people around him knew it, tell him only what he wants to hear. Don't tell him anything bad. Jeremiah was one who spoke the truth. Even if they didn't want to hear it, he was just being the messenger of what God had told him to say. So don't shoot the messenger. I always go back and say, well, this is what God says. Because that's what Jeremiah was like. I'm just telling you what God has told me to say to you. So Jeremiah was just the odd duck. And he was able to have access to the king. I don't understand how he had that, but he did. And he was only repeating what God has told him to say, even to the king. And he had done just that. We see that in the beginning of our text here today. You'll find out what he said to the king. When Jeremiah finished telling them what the Lord had commanded him to say, what happened? What did the people do? What did they do when they heard him say the message that he came to give to the king? Remember what they said? I mean, what they did? They grabbed him. And they wanted to kill him because of what he said. That's the kind of reaction that he got. And they all gathered around him. He could not escape from them. And so the people were shouting and saying that Jeremiah has just done the sin of blasphemy by causing desolation, destruction of the city of Jerusalem as well as the house of the Lord. And because he said nothing is going to be left. This town is going to be like Shiloh. Shiloh was, you can see Shiloh from Jerusalem. Shiloh was the first capital of Israel a long time ago. It was the Philistines who came and did battle against Shiloh, and they wiped out the city. It's when the Ark of the Covenant was there in Shiloh. It was a place where the Jews went to worship the Lord. And it was never rebuilt. It became a desolate wasteland. They just destroyed everything, and they also took the Ark of the Covenant. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant has never been seen since. Still today, we don't know where it's at. Indiana Jones knows where it's at, you know. But we still don't know where the Ark of the Covenant is. Some think it still is in Jerusalem underneath the Temple Mount somewhere, but the archaeologists are not allowed to go and dig or to even try to find it because it would cause a war today. So they kind of just leave that alone. They know that on another side of a wall there is an opening or there's another passageway, but they cannot open that wall up for fear of the opposition. They cannot go beyond what they've been told of what they can dig and see today in Israel. So they surrounded Jeremiah. And we can tell here that Jehoiakim's priests and prophets were not happy campers after what he said to them. The royal officials, and these are the princes that would hear about what was going on over at the house of the Lord, it's a different place. The princes, the royal officials of Judah, they heard about some problems that was going on at the house of the Lord. You find that in verse 10. And they went over to kind of investigate what's going on here. And that's when they heard that Jeremiah needs to die for what he just said to us. Let's kill him. Get it over with. Let's end this guy's life. The accusers said, you know, everyone here has heard what he said. You heard it with your own ears, right? Does it remind you of something you've heard in the New Testament? Think of Jesus Christ. Did he have accusers? Was it the high priests and those Pharisees and Sadducees that said, he has blasphemed, which is a capital offense by Jews, which means he should be killed for blaspheming against God. And Jesus just said that he was God. He was who he says he is. He's telling the truth. They just didn't want to hear it. And then the Jews, at the time of Christ, knew that their capital punishment is only by stoning, by throwing stones to kill. That's how they do it. They didn't want to be held accountable for that. So they needed the Romans to come and to crucify him, to kill him that way, so that they didn't say that they did it, the Romans did it. So you kind of see there's some things going on behind the scenes here that we find out in the New Testament. That a lot of what we hear what Jeremiah is saying to the king, Jehoiakim, we find that it's also the same thing that happens to Jesus Christ in that last week of his life that we are looking at now because of Lent. He is a man of sorrows as well. Years later, in the book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 31, it says that the Pharisees came to Jesus. And they said this to Jesus in Luke 13, verse 31. They said to Jesus, now you leave this place and go somewhere else because Herod wants to kill you. Remember that? You can read it. And Jesus' response to that threat on his life, he says, today, tomorrow, and the next day, I'm going to do what I came to do. It doesn't matter what Herod says. I came to do a mission. I came to sacrifice myself for the people that God loves and who I love. And I'm going to go and do that regardless of what Herod says or what anybody else says. God's mission cannot keep me from accomplishing what he wants to have me do. Now it's interesting, look at when Jesus said, today, tomorrow, and the next day, those are 3 days. Could he be referring to what happened on the third day? the resurrection. I don't know if anyone ever caught that in the scriptures. But when Jesus answers them, hey, I'm going to be doing this for like today I'm doing and yesterday and tomorrow. Those are three different days. But we know that he rose again from the dead on the third day. Amazing what you can find in the scriptures. So Jeremiah, as we continue on with him, he takes a stand and he speaks to all the officials and to all the people there. And what he says right away, you can see he's a man of faith. And he says, hey, I'm here because God has told me to tell you this. He's bold. He's not sometimes a crybaby like he has been thought of by other people before. But he's bold. And he says that God has sent me to tell you what is going to happen. And if you resist God, look out. Because he tells them, not only has God told him to say this, but God has also said to them, you need to repent from your wicked ways. In other words, you need to come back to God. You are not going in his direction. You need to repent from your actions and to obey God's words. For then the Lord will relent and disaster will not come to this place. It means that if they listen to God, they don't have to worry about the Babylonians coming to destroy Jerusalem and all the tribes of Israel. And then Jeremiah says this. Reminds me of Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. As for me, whatever you think is good, whatever you think is good and right, go ahead and kill me if you want. Because if you kill me, this is what is going to happen. You're going to bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves. You're going to be killing an innocent man. You'll be guilty of shedding innocent blood on those who live in this city. And I have been sent here by God to tell you the truth. He is standing firm and strong in what God has said to him. Now, did King Jehoiakim and all those around him, did they believe in him? Did they believe what he said? The answer is, Because we know that the Babylonians did come. King Nebuchadnezzar, a Babylonian king, came and destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BC. And took away a remnant of Jews, the ones that survived, that lived, and made them walk all the way back to Iraq, modern-day Iraq and Iran. Jeremiah and a remnant fled to Egypt. And that's where they believe that Jeremiah died, was in Egypt. But the things that he was telling the king, King Jehoiakim, came to pass. Because they did not repent. They did not turn back. They were not to make any alliance with any other nation or any other neighbor. They were just to listen to God's word. If you listen to God's word, it will always be the right thing to do. The Jews never learned this in the Old Testament. Many, many times God came to them of saying, repent. Just be honest that you're not following me, as God would say. But I will do what only God can do. If you just trust in me, put your faith in me. They never, ever did, for the most part. When we think of shedding innocent blood, let's go back to the New Testament. Do you remember what Pilate said? Remember what Pilate said to the crowd? Pilate tried to defend, saying, I can find nothing wrong with this man. But he thought that, hey, once a year, he will release someone from prison because he's a good guy. I'll release somebody from prison, whoever you want me to release. But they still said, crucify him, crucify him. But he says, well, who do you want? You want Jesus, who's called the Christ, the Messiah? And what did the people say? Barabbas, who was a known murderer. Release Barabbas. Then what should I do with him? And they just said, kill him. Crucify him. And then what did Pilate do? He got a basin of water. He washed his hands and he said, it's on you guys. And the people said, not only on us, that's fine with us, but also our children. Children. Can you imagine that they would take the responsibility of murdering an innocent person and saying, even our kids can suffer the consequences of what we think is right. And all the time they were wrong. This happened over 600 years before Jesus is even crucified. Even before he was born. And so, again, did Jehoiakim and his people around him, did they believe the message that God gave to Jeremiah? Let me see your bobbleheads out there. They should be going like this. Never, ever believed God's word. The message of Jesus Christ in coming, laying down his life for us because that's the only way our sins can be forgiven. He voluntarily did it. He went to the cross voluntarily. Cross. Got the crown of thorns up there on the very top of this one. Everything he went through, he did it because he loved you and me. His message is true. If we want eternal life, if we want our sins forgiven, it comes through Jesus, a faith in Jesus Christ. And not in any other way, not in any other person, not in any other place. It comes what Christ did for you and me. Do you believe this? That's the old, old story. What did we sing? I love to tell the old, old story. Are you sure? But it's true. If you say, I do, I do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've always been honest with us. It's we who turn our backs on you. It's we who argue with you. It's we who say things that aren't true. We think we can do it our own way, and we just think of what Isaiah says, that we like sheep have gone astray, each to our own way. Oh, how true that is. Lord, break our hearts. May our hearts actually see how much you love us. Open our eyes. Open our eyes, Lord, that our hearts will break because of the sin that we do, the way that we think. As we say it every communion Sunday, that even the innermost, even the secrets within our own hearts and lives, Lord, you see them. You know what they are. and yet you'll forgive us if we turn to you. May we open our hearts to you this morning, Lord, and may you have your way of forgiving us, and then as we can also forgive others in a genuine, real way, because that's what you've did to us. Thank you for rising again on the third day. Thank you for you being the victor over sin, death, and the devil. Help us to live for you today and every day. May we go from here today with a lot of thought on our minds. And we know that today, Lord, that many want to leave church being happy, feel good. Now, this really isn't a feel-good message. But we can rejoice if we know that we're right with you. Then we can rejoice. We have peace that we've never had before. We've got a new standing with you we've never had before. We can go on and on and on. But Lord, today is a day when we ask ourselves, am I really a born-again Christian? Am I really right with you? Or am I just playing the game? Am I just going through the motions? Lord, I want to be real. Help me to be real and authentic. That's what many people today are looking for, even in church, and a lot of people don't find it there. So help us to be humble and allow you to have your way in our lives today and every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus told his disciples that this is how you should pray. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It says this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. A summary of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May the Lord go with you, may he bless you, may his face shine upon you, and may you, Lord, bless us when we don't even deserve it. May we go in your peace today and serve you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. You are dismissed. Go in peace and serve the Lord. But if anyone would like to talk about anything going on in your life, just come up front. I'll just stay up here and pray with you, listen to you. I just think today would be a good way to end the service this way. Thank you, Melissa. God is speaking to your heart. Come on up front. You can go.